around us, there's such a downward pull on our mind. There's such a push out there to control how we think and how we perceive things. We're bombarded. Commercials are just one example of many. But it's like the age is trying to manipulate our minds into a certain mindset. And that mindset is not what God has for us. So as believers, it's not that we leave this world or make a big issue out of it, but we have to have another source of revelation, of perception, that can change our thinking in the way that God wants us to think. We're not going to get it out there. It has to come from our relationship with the Father and our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. I know in our hearts there's a deep desire to see clearly. So much in life is, it's kind of like you can see, but like Jesus, when he first touched that blind person, he said, "I see men as trees walking." And he touched him a second time and he saw clearly. So much of our life in the spirit is because of our minds being conditioned by the world around us and that downward pull. We have spiritual awareness, but it's not real clear what we're looking at. You look at the church world, and I think there's a deep, deep need for just revelation from the Spirit of what God's doing. There's such a mixture right now with truths, things that God is speaking, and with just the human way of doing things, the religious striving. We won't have to go into all that, but if you look at the systems in place right now, yes, they are pointing to Jesus, but also there's a lot of the human thinking, a lot of pride wrapped into what they're doing, all of us. So it's not a matter of judging or pointing the finger. It's a matter of falling down on our faces before God and realizing that if we're going to see with eyes of the Spirit, there's only one source we can get that from, the Lord himself. And maybe recognize the hunger we have inside for revelation, for vision. In the book of 2 Kings, a very familiar story that I refer to often, when the enemy army was coming to take Elisha, his servant went out and saw this army and he was greatly afraid. And he said, "What are we going to do?" And Elisha came out very calmly and laid hands on him, blessed him, and said, "Lord, Father, open his eyes." And when his eyes were opened, he saw God in the situation. And he realized that the power of God was much greater than the enemy that was coming to assault them. And it's so true today, I think, as far as spiritual revelation, without that capacity for spiritual vision to see what God is doing, all we're aware of are all the things that are attacking us and coming against us. And it is overwhelming. As human beings, the problems we face in life will be overwhelming much of the time. Our emotions feel overwhelmed. Our mind feels overwhelmed. We try so hard to think our way out of circumstances and figure out the right thing to do. Yet what God wants us to do is to receive from him. And when we hear his voice, when we have his vision, when that revelation comes by the Holy Spirit and we see our circumstances the way God sees them, our awareness is changed and we're aware that, "God, you're so much greater in my life than these things around me." Our thinking is very much welded with our fears. Isn't that true? It doesn't take much to trigger fear. But when we start participating in and experiencing deeper revelation and vision, something changes with that. Because the more vision and revelation we have, it dissipates the fear in our life. And it breaks that weld, that where our thinking and fear are welded together, it just breaks it, to where our thinking can now be affected by and transformed by the Spirit of God. How do we get over fear? Well, 1 John says, perfect love casts out fear. That's the big one. But also, in that love, as we experience the revelation that God has, the more we see the Lord, the less we are going to fear anything out in the world. So, in the book of 1 Samuel, you have a time where it says visions were infrequent. There was no living word happening at that time. And Samuel came on the scene. It's interesting how things change so quickly when God had one person in place that would hear his voice. You had a whole priesthood, and Eli was the head at that time. Eli, remember, Samuel trained under Eli. Eli was a priest, and yet God wasn't speaking to Eli. You had a system in place that was a religion, but there was nothing alive happening there. Let me turn to 1 Samuel so I can read this for you real quick. 1 Samuel 3:1, and you don't have to turn there now. It says, the word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. Could that be somewhat a type of today? God is certainly moving in the earth, but I think a lot of the systems we have in place, the religious systems, may not be experiencing God's voice that often, or the revision of what he's doing. Samuel listens to the Lord. In verse 21, it says, the Lord appeared again at Shiloh because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel because he was speaking. The word was alive. Don't we hunger for this? You know, we get so wrapped up in doing the right things and just kind of finding our little place in some little system and stuck in a role somewhere when God is just saying, like Samuel, just come up where I am. Hear my voice. And as you listen to me, I will reveal who I am to you. You're not going to get this from religion. You're not going to get it from Casa de Oro religion, our own brand. Everybody's got a brand. Everybody's got a certain theology, a certain way of looking at things. This comes from the Lord himself. It doesn't knock down our theology. Maybe if some things, beliefs that we have are false or not right, they'll get knocked down. But it's born out of the relationship we have with him, and it's transforming. Spiritual vision. In Numbers, we read of the account of Joshua, Caleb, a time when the rest of the Israelites did not have vision, obviously, did they? They came into the wilderness and, you know, they had the word of the Lord just like Joshua and Caleb did. A number of spies went out to look at the land. They all saw the same thing. They all saw giants and obstacles. And they also reported, yeah, the word of the Lord is true. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a beautiful land. Yet not everybody had vision. When the spies came up and viewed the promised land, they all saw the same thing physically. But for Caleb, because he had vision in his heart, because he could see something of God in his life, he saw something more. In one verse in Numbers 13, verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, meaning the land, for we shall surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people. They are too strong. And they gave a bad report. And one thing Caleb voiced, I'm trying to find the verse, he saw that God had given them the land. Oh, verse 9 in chapter 14. Start with verse 8. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And the people were just, you know, grumbling at this point, and the rebellion was beginning. They were complaining about they wish they'd stayed in Egypt. But he says, do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land. They shall be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Here's the difference. Something that Joshua knew, something that Caleb knew. They could see the same giants. They didn't deny the problem that was there. But they saw that the protection had been taken off. They saw that God was with them and not with the enemy. That's what spiritual vision does. It's not only being able to see the promises of God and have an understanding of what God wants to do in your life, but it's actually also having the faith that you know it is for you. You realize that God has not just given you something that you can't have, but where there's obstacles, you realize the protection's been taken off and God will overcome those obstacles. Very important point. This is a component of vision. It's not just what you see, it's what you believe. And true revelation, true spiritual vision brings a transformation where we can see clearer, but also there is that inner knowing with that sight that what we see God has already given us. Does it mean we don't have any battles? Well, that wasn't what the promised land was all about. I mean, they faced difficulties, but the victory was always there from God. Since we're going to go through problems anyway, and there's no loophole around that, as hard as I search, I can't see any way around that. Either we face our problems with uncertainty, not knowing the outcome, with a lot of fear, dread, or we face the same problems with vision of God leading our lives and knowing that He has given us His promises, that He will overcome in us. And all the problems and difficulties we face, they may be painful, they may turn out in ways that we don't want or in ways we don't think, but God will be glorified, His will be done, and our hearts will be made glad because we know His will has been done, and that's always the best way that we can go. Spiritual vision. With Abraham taking Isaac up to the altar, here we have a different way of looking at spiritual vision, because Abraham was called more than once to step out on faith and move into something he could not see or understand. God didn't give him the vision first and say, oh, here's a map, go do it. God said, here's something out here for you. You believe it and start walking toward it. So in one case with Abraham, he receives the promise from God, his son Isaac, fulfillment of God's word to his heart against all odds. It was a miracle. Then he's asked to sacrifice his son on an altar. Okay, where's the spiritual vision here? He has a word. He doesn't understand why this is going to happen. Does it make sense to you that God would give you something and say, now I want to kill it? No, of course not. But he has the faith to move forward. Faith is very important. Now, as we receive revelation, it creates a level of knowing in our hearts. But also, as we move in faith, it creates the capacity for vision and revelation. Abraham stepped out in faith, and because of his love for God, he put Isaac on that altar, and of course the angel said, do not kill him. Abraham goes and gets a ram and offers him in the place of Isaac. And he says, this place is called the Lord will provide. Now, what Abraham gained through this experience by walking in the faith that he had in his heart was not just that he got his son back. Now, that's a big one. Whew, Isaac. God was just kidding. Good. But when he said the Lord will provide, God will provide, what is that all about? He received a revelation of who the Father was. He saw another aspect of God's nature that wasn't real to him before this whole experience. His vision was expanded because he was true to his faith, the faith in his heart, and to the word that God spoke. So it wasn't just about a test of whether Abraham loved God enough. That was part of it. Who would Abraham put first? We always look at that, the first thing we see when we read that story. But it's also about Abraham. God was saying, Abraham, I want to show you who I am. There's a side of me you haven't seen yet. And I'm designing this circumstance, as painful as it might seem to you while you're going through it, as you come out of it, and I will bring you out of it, You'll see me like you never did before. You'll see that side of me. It'll be a revelation to you. It'll be a vision to your life. It'll become a part of you. God never intended to take Isaac away. He intended to open Abraham up to a greater experience of who he was. One last thing. In experiencing spiritual revelation and vision, I mean, there's something in our heart, we realize we have to walk in faith, and that's, of course, the challenge to us all. But also, there's a turning. Every one of us is going to be challenged by the Holy Spirit to turn from a certain way of thinking to hear what God is speaking. God spoke this to my heart. It was at the home, last time I was at the home meeting. And it's just been carrying around with me. I saw something in the Spirit that just really startled me. I can't describe it. How would I describe it? It's like all these people, we call the church today, looking at Jesus, believing for the will of God to be done. And we have all these systems in place. And God is speaking, and he's going to speak in such a way that everyone has to turn away from the human way of thinking. Something about our thinking. Something about our pride, our arrogance, our religiosity, our self-righteousness. So much of that is embedded in the way we think, and the way we think in a religious way. But God's voice is coming, and that vision and that revelation that we seek for, there's going to be a turning, a repentance, a willingness to let go of how we've thought about things because God is speaking something to our hearts that challenges the conditionings we have had. In the book of Revelation, this happened to John, and just a real quick thing here in chapter 1. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. That image has kind of stuck with me. John was in the Spirit, ready to move, but the voice wasn't in front of him. If it was in front of him, and I couldn't use this as a very good example, but it was behind him. He had to turn. Verse 12, I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. Having turned, I saw. When we turn to hear the voice that is speaking to us, that turn of repentance, of surrender to God, we will hear the voice and we will see what God wants us to see. Perception, revelation, vision. Now you look in Jesus' ministry, I thought about this. He certainly could have made things a lot easier for himself in dealing with the opposition. He wasn't very diplomatic, was he? Here you had the Pharisees, you had a religious order. I'm thinking to myself, he could have phrased things or worded things differently or acted differently, not to be so offensive. But you see, when he was moving by the Spirit of God, he realized that the only ones that could really follow what God was doing and be a part of that new age that was coming by the Spirit would be the ones that were willing to turn from the way they thought and with that time of repentance to see things God's way. John chapter 6, Jesus is feeding the multitudes, performing miracles. He's got a great following. And then he begins to speak words that are offensive to the hearers. You must eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. Defying the Jewish custom, just defying common sense. Didn't make sense to him. Even like Peter said, we don't know what you're talking about, but where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Why would he do that? Because people were all thinking a certain way. Now, the Pharisees were in opposition. They in no way were they going to change their thinking about things. But even the multitudes, Here was our new king. Here's our new hero. They were thinking in a way that was contrary to what God was going to do. Put his son on a cross to die for us and raise him from the dead. They were looking for a hero. So Jesus spoke by the Spirit and offended what they were looking for, offended what they saw. All of a sudden they looked and said, I guess this guy isn't going to be our hero and king. They left. But what he was really after was not to offend the masses, but to turn the hearts and the minds of those that were true followers of his. And the way God moves with us today, I wouldn't call it offensive, but it certainly jars our reality, doesn't it? When you start really experiencing God's voice, this is my experience, especially of late, it is not what my mind is thinking or what my mind wants. It is going right to my core and just shaking. I've got a choice. I have a choice every morning I get up. I can hold on to the way I think, try to resist and be miserable, or I can realize this shaking is happening because God is doing something. He wants me, he's speaking. He says, David, turn around. You're thinking in one direction. Let go of that. Turn. Repent. And there's that process with all of us. It's a very humbling process. To let go of your mind, to take your mind off the throne, is very difficult for us as human beings. We don't like to admit that. Oh, we're believers. God's on the throne, you know. But the way we live our lives, some of the time at least, and maybe much of the time, our thinking gets on the throne. And somehow we think that God is here to just fulfill all the thoughts that we have. Well, God is here to fulfill the desires of our heart and to transform our thinking, that we can have vision and revelation and see things the way God sees them. So experiencing spiritual vision is allowing the Christ within us, the living Word, to shake us to the core. So like John, as we're in the Spirit, we can turn to hear the voice that's speaking to us, to turn from the thinking that God wants to change. We can hear his voice and see clearly and think with the mind that God wants to create within us, his mind. So I would say desiring spiritual vision may not be the easiest path to take. But, you know, I don't think any path is easy. It's heartache for everyone on this planet. But we choose that path because there's something deep within us that burns. That we were created to see life and experience life through God. Spiritual vision is not one of these option things. I have a walk with God. It's one that, you know, like a course in college, an elective. Maybe I'll have it, maybe I won't. The further you get into it and the further your heart is surrendered to the Father, you realize that you've got to have the revelation and the vision that he has for you. We've got to see things and perceive things through his eyes. God is going to answer that hunger. Let's stand. Amen. Lord, bless the word to our hearts. And Father, we ask together as a people that you have blessed with much and you have opened our eyes to see some wonderful things. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is increasingly giving us more perception. But Lord, we go to our core right now, our heart, that cry that is too deep even for words. We don't want to see things or people as trees walking. We don't want the partial healing to have an awareness but not have the clarity that comes from your mind. We recognize we're destined to be a people of revelation, a people of vision. And Lord, we hunger this day that vision become more clear. We turn from whatever mindset we have or way of thinking that you are dealing with right now. Each and every one of us, you're dealing with our thinking in certain ways. We turn, we repent. We let go of that thinking so that we can hear your voice and see and think through you. Amen. Let's sing something together. Gosh, I can't remember that song. About the temple.
Oh, our eyes now see.
Yeah, our eyes now see. That wasn't much of a clue. That's pretty good. We'll close with this song this morning. We have not done this in a long time, so hopefully we remember it.
Father, we welcome you. We welcome the process of the Holy Spirit. to come into our lives and bring the sanctifying work of Jesus Christ in us, that we can stand pure before you in this hour, knowing the things that have been freely given to us by the Lord. We take faith for one another. We cover one another with these truths, with this level of love that brings forth an honesty of heart. It's a love that we can't back away from. Lord, may your love just so penetrate each life and each heart here, that that oneness for which we have been created to walk with thee in shall be realized from the family here. And that each of us, Lord, will stand in the power of your love, knowing that we've been transformed by thy blood to stand as a witness of redemption, as ambassadors of Christ, heralding the new day. For the purity of heart has been restored to the people of God. And the vision is now open. The vision is now clear before us. We bless one another with this. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Good.